1460 WVOA.
Live from Whitney Media, 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, this is the Westchester County Legislators' weekly news and talk show. This is where you can get the latest news about Westchester County government direct from the county legislators. Call them at 914-636-0110. Now, the Westchester County Legislators' weekly news and talk show on 1460 WVOX.
Hey now, Westchester, this is Tara Martin here again, back again for the weekly edition of Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators. We're here in the studio with a packed room. We got a lot going on here today. Again, we're here with my trusty sidekick, Tina Lamengo.
Good afternoon, Westchester. I'm super excited about today's show.
Today's show is going to be a monster. I promised you guys last week that we were going to hit some heavy topics. And we were not playing. We are here and have a super dynamic group of people in this studio today to talk about a topic that we've discussed before in last year's segments. But we're going to get into it and get deep into it today. We're talking about cyberbullying and particularly digital harassment. Now, I'm sure, you know, there are those of you guys out there who, within the sound of my voice, know someone who has been a victim of cyberbullying, someone who has possibly cyberbullied someone. And it's not a cliche. This is something that is happening in our communities everywhere. And most recently here in Westchester County and throughout the region, we are seeing young people and young adults being harassed, victimized, and in some instances driven to suicide by these deplorable actions. Now, when I'm talking about cyberbullying, what am I saying? Necessarily, I'm saying anyone who is being harassed using electronic media. You know, folks who are being outed on Facebook, people who have been victimized in terms of being stalked by cell phone or by BBM, people who've used technology as a means to harass, to harangue, to insult, to disparage someone falsely, or for that matter, for any apparent reason. And again, like I said prior, there have been several instances recently within our region and here in Westchester County where young people have been just victimized and bullied, and it's gone to the point where it's no longer, you know, two kids fighting on the playground. Now it's people's lives being damaged permanently, or young people feeling that the only way to get away from a bully is by taking their own life. So we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about Westchester County's efforts to stop this deplorable act. And we're going to talk about some instances recently where average everyday citizens have gotten together and have said, no, I'm putting my foot down and we're going to take a stance and we're going to mobilize around this issue to save our young people and to save our young adults. So today, we're honored to have in the studio as our legislative guest, the chairman of the Westchester County Board of Legislators, Ken Jenkins, who's just joined us. As you know, Ken has definitely been a member and has sat in the host chair very often for this show. And he's the chairman of the board representing the entire county of Westchester, but he's also the local legislator for the city of Yonkers. So we're really glad to have Ken in the studio with us today. Ken?
Thanks for being here.
So we have an amazing group of people to talk about this issue, and I want to just go over really quickly their names, but before I do that, I just want to let everyone know that this is a topic that can only be beneficial to you when you call us, when you reach out to us and let us know what you're talking about and let us know what you think. So be sure, call us at 914-636-0110, or you can email us at westchesterbolradio@gmail.com. We have our email up in the studio, so we're ready to take your questions while we're on the air. And remember, Facebook us. We are on Facebook. We also are on Twitter. So let us know what you're hearing, what you're thinking in terms of this discussion. Let me just go around the room and introduce everybody. We have some experts in the field of youth organizing and just advocacy on the issue of cyberbullying, and I want to let them talk a little bit about their background and where they're from. We have David Jurin, who is the executive director of The Loft, which is a nonprofit community-based organization serving the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community, which ironically happens to be one of the highest bullied segments within our society where young people are literally getting outed using the web and the internet. So we're really glad for you to be here, David. We also have James Stewart, who is the director of Center Lane, which is Westchester's only community center for LGBT and questioning adolescents and youth. So, James, thank you so much for being here, for the tremendous work that you're doing on the ground. We have a frequent contributor. We practically should be putting a plaque up on the wall with her name on it. We have Karen Cheeks Lomax, who is the executive director of My Sister's Place, which does a tremendous amount of work on the issue of family violence and violence happening within communities and families. So, Karen, thank you so much for being here. And we have a newbie who's joined us on the panel, someone who a name you probably have all heard in the last maybe week or two. His name is Frank Valbrio, and Frank is the co-host of Zedalza New York, which is a weekly online video show that runs out of Harrison.
Porchester, my bad.
And basically, these are the guys who 2 weeks ago broke the story on the Westchester Smut List, which was a list that was circulating around the web, basically harassing young women in particular areas of like Harrison, Porchester, Greenwich, Connecticut, Scarsdale, Rye, New Rochelle, and Yonkers. And this list started as a BBM list that was ultimately copied onto Facebook, which was forwarded through Twitter and all other social networking sites with lists of girls who some would be considered sexually promiscuous. However, most of these girls had no idea that their names were even on this list and that this list was now property of the internet and can never be erased. So, Frank, thank you so much for coming, and we want to thank you for your advocacy on this issue. He held a weekly, just happened randomly in your show, and you know, folks just started calling in and, you know, talking about it. And this is something that, you know, is definitely near and dear to the heart of Chairman Jenkins, and we really, really appreciate that you being here this week.
I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here. Happy to help.
So let's start the conversation. And I know Chairman Jenkins is here. I want to actually start the conversation with Frank, and for you to tell us what happened, you know, on this particular night. You know, you start your show like you always do. You guys have been around for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, this pops up that this list is going around. Walk us through what happened that night.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that we didn't so much break the story as far as saying, like, trying to get it out there. This was going viral while we were on the air, and we actually had a fan call in and say, did you hear about this smut list that's going on, that's growing on the internet? We said, no, what is it? And we went on Facebook. We saw what was going on. We saw how it was broken down into towns from Greenwich to New Rochelle to Porchester. Porchester had the biggest list, to Yonkers, all over the place. And every time we reloaded the page, 40 more people liked it. This is in a matter of, you know, 35 seconds in between reloading. So this was the basic dictionary definition of going viral online. It was just multiplying. So what we did was we had our interns start posting on the Facebook wall every 10 seconds, because the wall was just scrolling full of comments. Every 10 seconds saying, we're talking about this live on Zedalza.com. We're talking about this live on the show. Come on and watch. And within 25 minutes, we had about 800 people in our chat room. Over 1,800 people in the Westchester area watched that night. And they're just calling in, giving their 2 cents. Some people were very upset about it. That's actually where we found out that a girl's friend was taken to the hospital because she tried hurting herself. That's where we realized the real enormity of the situation. So it happened so fast, and it was already off Facebook by Wednesday. But by that time, there's about 9,000 fans at the site. So it had been pretty big news for that 36 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frankie, first, thank you for your advocacy in trying to remove in this particular thing. One of the things that we were concerned with at the board is because the world is different now, right? I mean, you know, you're online, you have a video show that's online. When the old days, when you had people having those kind of discussions in a park, and it was limited to, you know, 5 people, 10 people in that particular area. But now with the internet, you know, you do something and instantaneously, as you said, you know, it grew to like 9,000 fans, in a matter of days and going viral, et cetera. And that's part of the reason that we started this initiative with all our great partners that are around the table here today to try to address this particular issue and to deal with it on both sides. You know, when we started this particular piece of legislation, we talked about the people worry about the penalties. Well, the district attorney certainly worked with us and talked to us about the various penalties that exist already, and they have prosecuted people on the various cyberbullying under various statutes, under harassment, et cetera, because there are some laws in place for that. But the biggest thing that we continue to see is what you were pointing out, is the need for that level of education and to try to get to as many people as possible to understand that the impact of what they said on the internet, you know, or they put in a tweet, you know, all these things that you could do in one instant have tremendous repercussions, whether people are taking their own life or trying to take their own life, which you saw on your show, or whether or not that person is harassed to the place where they're not able to function and they're, you know, becoming a detriment to themselves and to others. So we are really working together with all our partners here around the table to address this particular issue and to get this particular thing resolved as far as educating people. And again, all our partners here, that's what we're all trying to do, is to educate and to let people understand, yes, here's the penalties for this particular action, but more importantly, here's the impact of those actions, because that's really the, I mean, you know, a lot of people look and they want to see the cuffs thrown on somebody or that kind of thing. That's certainly one part of an aspect of deterring things, but the reality is that we should be spending much more effort, again, in educating people on the impact of the things that they're doing.
So that's the cue. This is going to be a really crazy topic, and there's a lot more discussion back after we come back from the break. Again, you're listening to Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators. We're talking cyberbullying today. We have a great panel of people here being hosted by Chairman Ken Jenkins, and we'll be back.
Now, back to the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. This is where you get the latest news from county government and where you can talk directly to the county legislators at 636-0110. Now, once again, the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX.
And we're back. We're talking cyberbullying today, and we're here in the show with legislator and chairman of the Board of Legislators, Ken Jenkins, here from Yonkers as our host this week. And we have a huge panel of people here, David Urin from The Loft, James Stewart from Center Lane, Karen Cheeks Lomax of My Sister's Place, and Frank Valbrio from Zidalza, New York. So we heard from Frank, and we want to kind of throw it over to you guys, the experts on the field, to talk a little bit about your organizations, what you're doing, and particularly what you're seeing on the ground in terms of this kind of the movements of cyberbullying that's happening in the communities here in Westchester.
Well, as the executive director of The Loft, the region's LGBT center, we do know that just in the past year alone, a lot of news has come out on LGBT bullying to the community. And studies have been done over the past decade on this topic. And let me just throw out a few numbers for you. LGBT students who are bullied are 5 times more likely to skip school than their straight counterparts, or those who are not bullied. They're twice as likely to say that they have no intentions to go on to college. And that's probably because they have lower GPAs than their straight counterparts by almost a whole point. And so these numbers can transpose. It's not just the LGBT community. It's anybody who's bullied. I mean, you take the word faggot, and you can put the word fat in there, too. I mean, because people are being bullied, and our youth are being bullied with many different words, and it's not just LGBT, but the LGBT community more so, because they are targeted more greatly. And in the past year, as I said, we've seen a lot more of that in the media. But that's not to say that it hasn't been happening for decades. If you do the numbers, I would say that about 1,200 LGBT youth take their lives a year. I mean, we just heard about the ones that made it into the media last year. But it's probably up there around 1,200 a year. And that's just a number that is just way sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. And actually, if people are interested in getting information and research, the GLSEN website, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network, GLSEN, go online. It's, they're constantly updating their research on the experience of LGBTQ youth and what they're experiencing. One of the astounding things is that over 84% of LGBT students reported being verbally harassed. 40% reported being physically harassed, 19% being physically assaulted in school. And one of our youth, Senna Lane, who attends school in Lower Westchester, community of color, was just getting ready to get beat up by his by classmates. It only stopped because his mother came to pick him up after school and happened to step onto the schoolyard while he was surrounded by 15 youth, calling him with sticks and rocks, calling him queer, bati boy, faggot, and they were ready to pounce on him until his mother stepped in. These are things that that's the physical assault. The online cyberbullying is in some ways more insidious in that a kid in school may have no idea that something's being said about her by him. That everyone, by the end of the day, two-thirds of the students in a given school will know what the rumor is or what the word is or whatever, but the individual herself or himself has no idea. Another important point to keep in mind is, back in the day, I always wanted to say that. Now that I'm old enough. Back in the day when you were bullied, you know, the good old days, not that they were all that good, but, you know, you get out of school, you go home, and at least you were safe. You know, you hang out with your friends, and then the next morning, I can remember, you know, getting ready to go to school and saying, oh, I got to deal with, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. But at least you had a day, you know, an evening and a night off. With cyberbullying, it's 24/7. Mm-hmm. And it's constant assault, and that's.
I think what James is saying is so critical because as we think about this issue, it is unrecognizable. 30 years ago, what we're seeing today is unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. We could have never imagined that technology was going to move as quickly as it has, and that the social fabric has changed and has accepted in many ways the. People have not taken responsibility for the anonymity. I mean, you can hit send on a text, you can hit send on a picture, and the next thing, as you say, James, it's not only in your school, but it's in another school, and it's into perpetuity. I was reading an article as I was preparing for today and just kind of looking at various things that are happening in Westchester. And this young man who was part of the smut, he was texting the information to friends, and then he loaded it up on his Facebook. And I don't know if you've read some of what was said. They were horrific, horrible, disgusting, profane comments that were made around these young women. It's really unthinkable, but it's acceptable. And he said, well, I only loaded it up. You know, I didn't write the original list. And I guess we really want young people to understand the impact, I think as the chairman was saying earlier, the impact as to what they're doing and how it affects and how it isolates and how it makes young people think, I don't want to live past today. Mm-hmm. And I know on YouTube they mm-hmm. were doing some, there were some comments about it's really not as bad as you think.
Now, Frank, I know you had spoken with the gentleman who at least was forwarding this list around?
Yes. News 12 and other places that had been very, 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 very outward in that they didn't know who started it and whatnot. And we had talked about it on our show that I had found the creator of the Facebook fan page from my bed on my BlackBerry at 2 in the morning. And by 2:36, not only did I book him for the show to call in and answer for everything, but I actually said, is there a statement we can release up until then? And that was the statement that you probably saw that's been circulating all the news networks. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, it's not my list. I uploaded it because people kept asking me about it. And if people want an apology, they're not getting one.
Right.
And that's pretty much what he said. I said, this guy is just, all right, fine, I'll release it. And that's pretty much it. He's a kid of little to no remorse, but that's usually what a bully is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so even if you don't, even if you don't find somebody who is creating a list or creating a note, they still are going to take any opportunity they have to get it out there and stick it to somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to come back, and in the next segment, we're going to talk about the bullies themselves, and we're going to talk about, you know, Chairman Jenkins talked about repercussions, and you know, we want to talk about the bullies and how the repercussions will ultimately filter them and get them to finally get it that this is illegal. You're listening to Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators. Again, we're talking about cyberbullying today with Chairman Ken Jenkins, and we'll be back. WVOX.
Now, back to the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. This is where you get the latest news from county government and where you can talk directly to the county legislators at 636-0110. Now, once again, the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX.
Hey now, and we're back. Talking cyberbullying and the Westchester Smut List with Chairman Board of Legislators Chairman Ken Jenkins. And at the last segment, we talked a little bit about the scourge of cyberbullying and how it's evolved from, you know, kids on the schoolyard 15 years ago and having the beef end there to now it just surveying and going beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, where a rumor that started in a school can now go all the way to China and back around again. So I want to actually ask the chairman to come into the conversation and tell us a little bit about the initiative that he's spearheading at the board, which is a cyberbullying law. And I know we've talked about it initially, and I know he's reintroduced it, and I want to ask that he talk a little bit about it and what it can do to kind of alleviate some of these things.
Well, first, Tara, and certainly all of our experts here understand the generic issues that we're talking about. Is one, we have to get people that have education, but we also have people that have to have accountability, because again, there's just so much anonymity on the internet that, you know, you could just do something and say anything about anybody, and guess what? You know, who can find out? Well, the truth is that people do find out, because at the end of the day, most of the people usually want to tell other people what they did. And now we need to make sure that there are those repercussions for those individuals that are involved. But that all, again, starts with the education, and the younger we can do that, it's just that much better. So the bill that we've reformatted and refashioned is to put this education portion as part of our human rights, because that's exactly what it is, right? It's a violation of someone's human rights to be cyberbullying. And to have that category where we have education that is being done from our Human Rights Commission, making sure that we're outreaching to all of the individuals, whether they're in schools or outside of school, because that was one of the other issues, is that all the laws that, and as a legislator and making laws up, that we put a lot of emphasis on our school districts to do this education. And with all of the pressure and cuts that they have to do to make sure they get reading, writing, and arithmetic correct, you know, we need to be a partner in this particular thing, and that's where the county government can step in as a regional government to help take that pressure off of the school district and work with all the service partners that we have. We know so many people that are involved in trying to make sure that we're educating people to prevent issues from happening before it costs us a lot of money, before someone takes their life, before we have to get into situations where things go viral. So, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's where this particular legislation is starting from. And again, I want to, you know, make sure that we're bringing in all our guests on this particular thing, because, you know, Frank saw it firsthand, but we have our executive directors from Center Lane and from the Loft and from my sister's place that see this on an everyday basis. You know, people walk through their doors each and every day that are victims of cyberbullying, whether we want to call it cyberbullying or not, but they're victims from that regard. And again, we need to continue to work together to not only just address the penalty part, but the education part, because if we can stop, you know, 10 young people today from just make, before they hit that send button, I know there's a new app for whatever it is that, you know, oh yeah, I want to reverse what I did. I forget what it's called. Frank will probably tell me better that, you know, what it is, because there's an app for that too. But, you know, when you are in, you're not thinking of these things and you're not thinking about the impact, you're not thinking about what's going to do to somebody's life. And I know we were seeing all these reports today about how social networking, you know, that the pediatricians are being asked to talk with their patients, their families and the children more about the impacts of social networking.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the accountability, I think that's key. And I know we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Welcome to Inside Government. What's your question?
Thanks. I'm sympathetic to bullying in any sort, but my concern is I think this is just another example of government butting into people's private affairs. I mean, who's to determine what is considered bullying? And didn't we all grow up with bullying? And how are you going to stop it? And like I said, what determines... Who makes the determination on what is bullying?
All right, Frank, you want to?
Sure. I can see what you're saying. When we start talking about the legislation that people are talking, trying to get in place to start to combat this problem, I'm 100% on board to putting things in place so that people who are legitimately being harassed and being hounded and they are being victimized because of something like that, that there has to be something in place. The fine line that you're talking about that I do agree with needs to be scrutinized is how does this affect our First Amendment rights? How do we have to start typing? How do we have to start speaking for any coffee house conversation to be deemed legal or illegal because we're just giving opinions? So, I mean, it is a very, very sticky fine line. I know what you're talking about, but that's...
I don't understand. I just don't understand how it works. I mean, you know, we all grew up, there was bullies. You know, I had bullies to deal with. You did. Everybody on this panel did. You know, are you trying to insulate people? Are you trying to say, you know, you can't have any social life? You have a baseball game. Someone calls someone else a bad word. So is that bullying? It's garbage. I think it's, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. How many I grew up, I went to grammar school, let's say, in the 60s, right? How many people died from bullying back in the 60s? I mean, is it from bullying, or is it just from someone's inability to deal with life?
If I can respond to that,
sure.
I think what you're talking about, and I think we've all kind of talked about 15, 20, 30 years ago that the paradigm has shifted and that the schoolyard bullying is very, very different from what we see today. I think what we hear, and I'm at my sister's place, we see young people, we see gay and lesbian people, young people talking to us about the impact of what's happening in their individual schools, that they are terrified to walk in their schools, that they are terrified to kind of look around because they're not sure who's going to continuously bully them. These are people that are harassed and tormented. This is not your standard, you know what, you know, you look ugly, which are horrible, horrible things, or you look, you know, you back in the day, people would say, you know, she's fat or she's not pretty. And then you can go home into a place of safety. You have your PDA, you have your computers, there's a constant barrage of technology that comes into your space. And that's what we're talking about. I think you have to distinguish what was and what is now.
I don't know that you're going to be successful in preventing it. I think what you need to do is teach the ones who are being victimized how to deal with being...
Well, the truth is, we're trying to do both, right? Because we're trying to do too much.
You're trying to butt into people's private affairs.
No.
And it's Big Brother coming down like the ultimate Big Brother coming down.
But we were very sensitive to that, and we have, you know, legislator John Noone, who's the chairman of our legislation committee, who is a huge First Amendment right person, and we are concerned about that. But there's a difference, and if you saw our legislation, it's not something that is a casual type of thing. You're talking about, you know, incidents when you see whether it's in Rutgers and that kind of thing, where you have thousands of you know, text messages and emails and that kind of thing, where you are harassing someone, where you clearly are taking the initiative to go and hurt someone. Yeah, in the old days.
What is your determination, though? Who draws the line on what is harassment? Who draws the line on what is bullying?
A court
does.
A court does. That's exactly the point. Is that we're not making that judgment up. We're saying that there's two points to this. One is the education side, and I think all of us would agree with you that says, you know what, there's parts of growing up for all of us, but you know, was all that stuff good, right? You know, with things that happened along the way, the right things that happened, and shouldn't we be taking time to educate people that said that's not the right thing to do? But you know, we have to keep working on that stuff, and we got to keep doing that together. So it's not Big Brother, but it's all of us working together, because that all costs you money as well when people die and when services need to be rendered for those individuals.
So we're going to take a break. Thank you, caller, for calling. We're going to be back for the final segment of Inside Government, where we're going to talk about resources, how people can get help, and what parents and students can be doing on this issue. Again, you're listening to Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators. We're having a spirited conversation. You're listening to 1460 AM WVOX. Stay tuned.
WVOX. Now, back to the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. This is where you get the latest news from county government and where you can talk directly to the county legislators at 636-0110. Now, once again, the Westchester County Legislators Weekly News and Talk Show on 1460 WVOX.
Hey now, Westchester, and we're back. I promised you a spirited discussion, and we have had it. We're talking cyberbullying, and you're listening to Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators, and we're in the studio today with our legislative host this week, the chairman of the Board of Legislators, Ken Jenkins. And I think, Frank, you had a question.
Yeah, just this for Ken and for everybody else, too, just because I wanted to bring this up. When you look at something just like this, I mean, one thing is when it's one situation where there's a physical bullying problem going on in school. And when something gets physical, obviously there's already laws and legal actions that can be taken to, you know, correct that and to restrain future things from happening. But as far as something like this with a smut list, with anything that is printed or whatnot, anybody who is tied into that, if this is already in print, why can't, I mean, isn't there, there's already legislation in line to fight against things like libel. So what in your minds would be, you know, how do you already add on this to legislation that's already in place to prevent somebody from unlawfully making, you know, statements that, you know, are defamation of character in print that have already, that is what this is pretty much all focusing around?
Well, the question again is to try to define a category that that doesn't almost exist right now. The cyberbullying thing, almost all the laws that we have for harassment or for print things, there are laws, and that's what the district attorney said. We can prosecute people for cyberbullying. It's just not called cyberbullying, right? It's called harassment. It's called libel. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they can follow up on when they know. The real thing that we're trying to push on here is the education portion of this, to make sure that people understand the real impacts for themselves and, more importantly, for the other people that are being bullied through this kind of thing. And, you know, used to be able to pull people to the side and some friends might get together and say, hey, that wasn't cool, right? Well, you know, we need people to say that's not cool at a bigger level now, because our world just is just that much smaller the way that the computer system works. So, you know. But I wanted to share with my other folks, whether it's Karen or James. Mm-hmm. Or anything.
I think another issue too, especially dealing with youth myself, is that how do we assist parents in monitoring what their children are putting out there or what they're receiving? I think in my work with parents as well, is that parents feel very much at a loss as to how do I do this? How do I not so much police but supervise my kids? And because they're so far advanced in terms of what they know in terms of technology than parents do. So I think that's another piece of the preventive, is training parents what to look for, how to assist their youth, and also approachability. Roles have changed. The idea of one parent being home 24/7 just doesn't exist anymore. And therefore, I know that parents feel really, really anxious and many times aren't even aware that their kids are being bullied, cyberbullying or bullied at school, until sometimes things are really too far advanced.
Yeah, you know, James, I agree with you. My my 15-year-old daughter may not like it, but I'm her Facebook friend, and I do check her page regularly to make sure that she's not saying anything inappropriate about other people, and to make sure that nobody's posting anything on her wall that might be inappropriate. And I'm happy to say that she doesn't really go on Facebook as much as I do. And but parents do have to take a leading role, not only in making sure that their children aren't bullied, but making sure that their children aren't the ones doing the bullying.
Yeah.
Because one of the problems, I believe, is that what we're seeing is the kids themselves, and this is where the idea of the educational aspect of this comes into play, is the kids themselves have to realize, wait a second, what I'm doing is bullying? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. I thought it was just calling her a name. Mm-hmm. No, it's bullying. If you do it repetitively, if you do it with great maliciousness with your friends, then that's bullying, sweetie. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that just in terms of conversation about parents don't understand the technology. Someone said that they don't understand when they give their daughter or their son a GPS, a BlackBerry that has a GPS system, the implications and the software that can be downloaded and can track people and stalk people and bully people anonymously. So we do a lot of this work, and parents just come to us, please, please help us try to figure this out. I also think that parents and young people have to recognize when predators are in the chat room and on the other side of the aisle, because they often hold themselves out as friends. And they really do need to be more, I would say, responsible but knowledgeable in terms of never divulging personal information. You know, I was with my daughter. We were traveling probably about 2 years ago, and she went on her online, and I looked up, and there was her full name, date of birth, and some other information. I said, are you crazy? You can't divulge that information, because everybody will have it. So, username has to be generic, and passwords, you don't give them out. And some of what we see is when good friends break up and they're no longer friends, and then the information, the user password, gets out there, and that's how some of this information is out. And bottom line, if you have a nice picture and you want to give it to somebody, make sure it's a nice picture if you're sending it by email, but certainly hand pictures. We should go back in the day and give people a picture as opposed to sending it by email. Mm-hmm. But those are things I think education is key, not only for parents, but certainly for educators and all the folks that are involved in keeping our children safe. Mm-hmm.
So it appears that we are running out of time. I know we can be talking about this forever, and we probably will be talking about this again. but I want to thank all of you guys for being in the studio, James, David, Karen, and Frank, for being with us. We definitely want to extend a huge thank you for Chairman Jenkins for being here and for his stewardship and leadership on the issue of cyberbullying at the board. I'm sure the bill will be moving through committee at some point, and our hope is that we have a public hearing where we can allow you, our listeners, to come out to the Board of Legislators to come talk about your experiences, whether you support this type of legislation or, like our previous caller, who clearly feels that it's maybe a form of government intrusion. We want to hear from you, so we'll let you know when that hearing happens. Again, thank you guys so, so much for being in the studio with us and for really being a part of this lively conversation. I want to throw it to Tina Lamengo to do our announcements this week. Tina?
Hello, Westchester. Aside from this whole cyberbullying thing, I want to give a shout out to our wonderful youths in Westchester, our Peekskill girls basketball team, for winning the Section 1A class championships. Woo-hoo! And along with the Mount Vernon High School champions, my great city of Mount Vernon, all for right. winning all the right. Federation championships.
They beat Christ the King in Brooklyn.
We are super proud of you guys.
That's terrible.
We just want you guys to continue just making Westchester such a great county.
I didn't know Westchester was a baller county. Apparently so.
We are doing something right, because we are winning.
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 Winning. Winning.
Definitely. Tonight, back to Mount Vernon, we are having our Memorial Field Town Hall meeting taking place at Mount Vernon Heights Congregational Church on 238 South Columbus Avenue in Mount Vernon, hosted by legislator Lyndon Williams. He is going to be discussing Memorial Field, its renovation project, which would just be a great thing in the city of Mount Vernon, something we definitely need. So come out tonight, 7 p.m., Vernon Heights Congregational Church. We will also have our Pitch In for Parks event taking place on April 10th. If you really care about your community and the environment and you want to go out and give a hand, help out by Pitching In for Parks, which is a chance for individuals, organizations, and community groups to help spruce up the parks and parkways. It's going to take place Sunday, April 10th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at any and many Westchester County parks. So just contact westchestergov.com/parks to sign up for the specific project, or you can give us a call at 914-864-7318.
Thanks, Tina. This is the time I'm going to give it around for you guys, all of our guests in the audience, all of us in the studio, for plugs. Plug your events, plug your websites. Plugs.
Sure. Center Lane, which is part of Westchester Jewish Community Services, we are having on the 15th of April our Breaking the Silence celebration. Day of Silence is on April 15th. Thousands of high schools throughout the country observe. Students volunteered to be silent all day in commemoration of people throughout history and present day who identify as LGBT, who are silenced or feel they need to be silenced. So we're having a youth breaking the silence at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6 on the 15th of April at the Loft on 250 Bryant Avenue at the United Memorial Methodist Church. I'm sure I messed the title up. And also our gay prom is also going to be held on June 17th. At the Polish Center in Yonkers as well.
Awesome.
So those are two big things.
Awesome. And I know, check out, make sure, you know, Frank is the rookie in the studio, and we want to make sure that we plug his weekly show. What is it? I always screw it up.
I'm actually live tonight. It's
okay, cool.
Tonight at 9 o'clock we'll be live on our website, ZEDALZA.com, Zedalza.com. And I gotta thank you guys so much for this.
Thank you.
Thanks
everybody, for being in the studio today. We're wrapping it up. Next week, we're going to have another spirited topic with another spirited round of guests. You're listening to Inside Government with your Westchester County legislators. Definitely talk to us, email us. We're at westchesterbolradio@gmail.com. Check us out on westchesterlegislators.com. Thank you for listening and learning more about your county government on the inside.